Hello, it's Kevin Bay with Chasing the Yield for October 18th, 2021. And this is my episode number 25. 1/4 of 100. Who knew I would continue doing it for 25 episodes, let alone 5 episodes? But I'm doing it. I'm still here. Last week was a shit show. Sorry for the swearing. I was having windows put into my house, and there was just no getting, I mean, they were here from early in the morning till, you know, late in the evening, and I just didn't have any time to record when they weren't pounding. So I just went ahead with it anyway. It was like a 5-minute episode. I just did it just to keep things going. Today, there's no pounding, so at least I got that going for me today. I titled this episode, Energymageddon. I like to make up my own words. And let's see, oh, you know what? I'm doing things also a little bit differently today. I switched monitors, so I'm looking in a different direction. Maybe that was not the best strategy because I need to kind of look at both sides. Okay. You ever lose your mouse cursor while you're going between monitors? I used to use two PCs. One was running most of my everyday tasks, and the other one I would use specifically for other things like accounting. I would run QuickBooks on it, and I would keep that computer to do specific things. And I was using Microsoft, what the heck was that thing called? Mouse Without Borders from Microsoft Garage. It's a free software KVM, so you could switch between monitors and using the same keyboard and mouse rather than using a hardware KVM. And I just got, you know, I got to the point where I don't really need the two PCs anymore. I just got used to using them, so I decommissioned one by, you know, wiping it clean, shutting it down, and just using one PC and spreading out things across two different monitors. So I decided to give that a try today and switch monitors, which it's got me all confused because I'm not used to doing things in this manner. But anyway. You can go to the podcast. You can go to the website, chasingtheyield.com. And on the site, you can see a big red donate button if you feel like donating. This is also a value for value podcast, which means that if you're using one of the new podcast apps that support value for value, you can stream Satoshis, fractions of Bitcoins, to me as you listen. Or send a Boostagram, where you can complain about my lack of professionalism, the inconsistent sound, right? Because right now I see I'm looking between two different monitors, and as I talk between the two, my voice gets louder and softer as I go across the microphone. So this is obviously not a good practice. Regardless, I'm here, so I'm gonna just forge forward. So today, let's see. First, let's just take a look at how the market's doing right now. It's kind of flat, down 0.24% on the Dow, down 0.06% on the S&P, up 0.02% on NASDAQ, and the Russell 2000, if you follow that, it is up 0.06%. What was I doing? I think I was mixing things up here. The S&P is down 1.6. NASDAQ is up 4.21, Russell 2000 down 1.59. I was mixing points and percentages all at the same time for some stupid reason. Anyway, that's where the market is today. It's kind of flat. I don't think there's going to be any reaction to Colin Powell passing away or supposedly stocks falling after weak China growth data, but I don't picture that to be a problem either. What I was talking about, or at least why I named the podcast, this episode, Energymageddon. There goes that loud noise. loud voices I had changed through, is that there are natural gas shortages right now. And I've linked to the story in the Wall Street Journal. The story goes, soaring natural gas and coal prices are pressuring power generation companies and manufacturers to switch to using oil, a trend that could add 500,000 barrels a day to global demand. In its monthly market report, the IEA increased its global oil demand forecasts for this year and the next by 170,000 and 210,000 barrels a day, respectively, but added that the cumulative effect of the energy crisis could be as large as 500,000 barrels a day from September through the next year's first quarter. That increase means that the IEA, which acts as the energy watchdog for the wealthy nations of the of OPEC, expects the world's thirst for crude next year to exceed pre-pandemic levels at 99.6 million barrels a day. Oil prices added to early gains on Thursday following the release of the IEA report, with Brent crude rising 1% to $84 a barrel. U.S. crude futures climbed 1.1% to $81.31 a barrel, closing at a fresh 7-year high. So the reason I bring this up as Energy Mageddon is back in the 70s, we had the oil crisis, which everybody talks about, where you had gas lines in the United States. You know, and back then, I don't think anybody had vanity plates back then, but if your license plate was odd numbered, you can get gas on this day. If it was even numbered, you can get gas on that day. And it was quite the sight, you know, to watch people line up and get gasoline. So what has happened here is that there seems to be a shortage of natural gas. And I believe this was brought on by a lot of the decisions that were made by the Biden administration in shutting all kinds of things down, like fracking. Before this year, there was such a glut of natural gas that the prices plummeted. Energy was just flowing out of every orifice, it seemed. And now there's this artificial, it's not like there isn't enough natural gas and oil right now. It's just that we're not getting it. We're not digging it. We're, you know, it was made more expensive to mine and to extract. So what is actually going to happen here? You know, this is, and we went through that period of time early in the pandemic where things were closed down, where all the governments of the world shut, you know, all the economies down. And hold on one second. Okay. They shut the world economies down. And so there wasn't much use for energy, oil, natural gas, or otherwise. Everybody stayed home, so things weren't, you know, people weren't using a whole lot of energy. So now things are coming out of that, but in between, we had the election in the United States where Trump lost and Biden won. And the first thing he did was shut down an energy pipeline from Canada to the Gulf of Mexico. And then he made it more difficult for frackers to extract oil and gas through fracking. And it didn't take very long, it seems. We're now only 9 months past the inauguration, and suddenly we're in another energy crunch, where just a year ago, we were leading the world in energy production. So I don't know what's going to happen. You know, nobody really knows. I certainly don't want to pay more for energy. I don't know if you do. I know I certainly don't. So I have no answers for it. I just talking about it because I do invest in, I don't invest in energy production. I invest in companies that transport energy and energy storage. So I don't know if, you know, once I saw where things were headed with the Biden administration, you know, I got out of oil production and got in or increased my holdings in energy storage and energy transport, because I could just kind of figured since we weren't producing as much here in the U.S. that we were going to be required to bring it in from somewhere, or other countries were going to have to bring oil and gas and energy from other places. So that's where I went with that. Walgreens closed 5 stores in San Francisco because of the crime problem that's happening there. And in Market Watch, they reported Walgreens Boots Alliance has announced that it will close 5 Walgreens stores in San Francisco in response to the rise in organized retail crime. Walgreens says it will move prescriptions and workers from the shuttered stores to nearby locations. Prescriptions will go to stores within a 1-mile radius. Retail theft across our San Francisco stores has continued to increase in the past few months to 5 times our chain average, the company said in a statement. During this time, to help combat this issue, we increased our investments in security measures in stores across the city to 46 times our chain average in an effort to provide a safe environment. And I know, you know, there were some laws in California, and I think in some other cities where they're not prosecuting low-level crimes like shoplifting. So that's causing a big problem for Walgreens, and them pulling back in major cities is not a good thing. The FDA says the Johnson & Johnson booster bolsters the immune system. A booster of Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine showed signs of significantly bolstering the immune system, the immune defenses of study subjects, federal health regulators said on Wednesday. The regulators cautioned, however, that data was limited and that they had to rely on J&J's own analysis for some of the study findings rather than conducting their own. The Food and Drug Administration staff gave their assessment of the J&J booster data as part of the agency's review of the company's request for authorization of the second dose. It should be noted that that is the case for all medication. The FDA doesn't really do their own testing. They just take data from pharmaceutical companies and review it. CIBC, they announced a $450 million fund focused on venture capital and growth equity funds. From Yahoo.com, Yahoo Finance, over the past 3 years, CIBC has made financial commitments as a limited partner to 12 Canadian-based venture capital and growth equity funds covering every stage of the entrepreneurial life cycle. The underlying fund strategies have included women, women-led startups, fintechs, disruptive tech, and early-stage software companies. These financial commitments are above and beyond CBC's previously announced leadership role in the establishment and early capitalization of the Canadian Business Growth Fund. CIBC has recently doubled its capital commitment to venture fund investing and is now making limited partner investments in select later-stage U.S.-based growth equity funds supporting the tech and life sciences sectors. Procter & Gamble, in a story out of the Wall Street Journal, they were pressured to report on its efforts to address deforestation. Excuse me, drinking some coffee. Environmentalists scored a win against a corporate giant last year when Procter & Gamble shareholders backed a proposal asking the maker of Charmin toilet paper and Bounty paper towel to report on its efforts to address deforestation. This year, the Natural Gas Resources Defense Council, Sierra Club, and several dozen descendants of P&G's founding families are lobbying shareholders to vote against longtime director Angela Braly. Ahead of the company's annual meeting Tuesday, the groups say they are targeting Ms. Braly because, as head of the board's Governance and Public Responsibilities Committee, she's responsible for addressing climate issues. She's also director at ExxonMobil, which has faced pressure to accelerate emissions reductions as its oil and gas rivals shift to renewable energy. Chevron, it was in the news, also Wall Street Journal. Chevron aspires to reduce or offset carbon emissions from operations by 2050. Chevron Corp said Monday, it has an aspiration, in quotes, to reduce or offset carbon emissions from its operations to zero by 2050 as investor and public pressure mounts on oil producers, to respond to climate change. The company also, for the first time, set a target for reducing the intensity of the carbon emissions from the fuel and other products it makes, though it didn't set an outright reduction goal for those products. Nearly 61% of its shareholders voted earlier this year in support of a proposal that the company substantially reduce its emissions from its products, a stance that Chevron had urged investors to reject. I voted to reject. Chevron is in the business of making energy, and to offset their carbon emissions would just affect profits. And this move towards, I forgot what the acronym is. I think it's ESG, equity, social governance, or something like that. I don't know. Where they're pushing companies, specifically like Chevron, to address things that are kind of antithetical to their core business. So I don't know where this thing is going to go. I still don't see oil going away anytime soon. Nuclear power I see as a rising energy production method, hopefully. I just don't see the utility in wind and solar on a grand scale. Microsoft, they shut down LinkedIn in China. They could not continue to comply with increasing restrictions on speech in China and therefore is closing LinkedIn in China. China is continuing to close itself off to the world. Those are my comments, not from the Wall Street Journal. In the Wall Street Journal story, they reported that LinkedIn, in a statement on Thursday, said it made the decision after facing a significantly more challenging operating environment and greater compliance requirements in China. In March, China's internet regulator told LinkedIn officials to better regulate its content and gave them 30 days to do so, according to people familiar with the matter. In recent months, LinkedIn notified several China-focused human rights activists, academics, and journalists that their profiles were being blocked in China, saying they contained prohibited content. Again, I am against doing business in China. I do not think it's a good idea for the free world to conduct business and trade with closed-off communist nations. So while Microsoft continues to do business in China, in other respects, closing off LinkedIn to me is a good thing. Johnson & Johnson, they placed their talc liability entity into bankruptcy, or they placed all their talc businesses into a different entity and then declared bankruptcy. Another story in the Wall Street Journal, they reported the healthcare company said Thursday that a corporate affiliate holding talc-related liabilities had filed for Chapter 11 protection to resolve all claims related to cosmetic talc in a manner that is equitable to all parties, including any current and future claimants. The Chapter 11 filing makes J&J the latest company to turn Chapter 11 as a mechanism to settle large numbers of lawsuits over defective products or other harms. Victims' lawyers had criticized J&J for exploring a bankruptcy over talc, saying that Chapter 11 wasn't meant to help healthy companies avoid accountability. Because I do invest in J&J, you know, I believe this is a good move for the company to limit liability and to protect their bottom line. Moving on to portfolio update. It was a good week last week. My low-yield portfolio is up 1.77%. For the month, it was up 2.52%, and for the year, it is up 16.11%. Since inception, it is up 30.8%. My medium yield portfolio for the week was up 1.52%. For the month, it was up 1.82%, and for the year, it is up 2.65%. Since inception, it's up 7.6%. The high yield portfolio, So far, made some pretty good gains in that one this past week. It was up 3.19% for the week. It's up 5.86% for the month. And for the year, it's only down 2.08%. Since inception, which is just this year, actually, it is only down 3.5%. So it's starting to recover a little bit, and hopefully it continues that trend from the Hogue LNG Partners. What the heck was the name of the company? Let me see here. Yeah, Hogue. I don't know how to pronounce it. H-O-E-G-H. LNG Partners. They are the company that cut their dividend 98%, and then the stock price dropped something like 70% or something, you know, overnight. So while that one's still down quite a bit, you know, my investment in that, the rest of that portfolio has recovered nicely to make up for the difference. So we're almost back to back to equilibrium with that, and hopefully holding onto that and not panicking was the right decision. Dividends received this week. Starwood Property Trust, $84.48. Pembina Pipeline paid $104.23. Sixth Street Specialty Lending paid $170.97. American Finance Trust paid $250.75. Franklin Resources, $84.84. Leggett and Platt paid $80.64. W.P. Carey paid $97.84. Main Street Capital paid me $46.62. And because I have American Finance Trust in two different portfolios, I received another payment of $102.85. So from American Finance Trust, I actually got $253.60. So not a bad week from that. In dividend news, Fastenal, they announced their next dividend at 28 cents per share. Enterprise product something or other, I can't remember. I wish I could remember the names of every company and their symbol. Enterprise Products Partners. They announced their next dividend of 45 cents per share. Caterpillar announced theirs of $1.11 per share. All were in line with the with their previous payout. This is a Podcasting 2.0 compatible podcast. That means if you're listening on a Podcasting 2.0 compatible app, you'll have access to transcripts, chapters, chapter images that accompany each episode. Please go to newpodcastapps.com and download and support these independent apps. They are far and away better than using the Apple iOS podcast app, Spotify, or the Google podcast app. The independent apps, they have different interfaces, and you can kind of use them the way that you prefer. Also, some of them do support the value for value model, where you can then stream Bitcoin, fractions of Bitcoin, to your favorite podcaster that also enables value for value in your podcast, which this one does. You can also go to podcastindex.org and support Podcasting 2.0 as they continue to try to keep podcasting free and open to podcasters all over the world and keep it outside the walled gardens. Chasing the Yield, the website, and myself, Kevin Bay. I am not a registered investment advisor, broker, or dealer. I may have positions in any financial instrument, product, or company mentioned on the website or on the podcast. Information provided on the website or the podcast is provided for information and entertainment purposes only, not intended as advice or recommendation or offer or solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security or financial instrument. All opinions are based upon sources believed to be accurate and provided in good faith. No warranty, representation, or guarantee expressed or implied is made as to the accuracy of the information contained herein. Please contact an investment professional if you have any questions regarding an investment. I don't know if that'll come out. My French bulldog just let out a giant snort. So feel free to go to the website. Links to all the stories are in the show notes, as well as you can take a look at all three portfolios that I have that are active, and all the stocks that are inside. I still don't have things like the amounts and shares that I hold. I'm a little uncomfortable still putting all of that info out there, although I am providing the dividend payouts that I receive. So I suppose if you want to do a whole lot of work, you could figure out how many shares I own and over time, probably figure out the total value of the portfolios. If anybody has any questions, you can email me at mail@chasingtheyield.com. There are links for email, Twitter, Facebook, all in the show notes. And again, you can, if you feel like it, if you don't, that's fine. Click on the red donate button, send some money, and send me a note, send me a boostagram. I think that's it for this week, and have a good week. Hopefully the market stays up and we make some more money. Talk to you next Monday.